Welcome back to another podcast, our first podcast of 2020. Can you believe that we're 20 years into this new century? So my guest today is none other than the president of the board, Kim Fuller. Kim, welcome back.
Good to be back. Good to be back. Good to see everybody. I should say hear everybody, I guess.
That's good. Well, it's been a while since we've talked, but you've been busy. And I know, so why don't you bring us up to date? I know there was a board meeting yesterday. And so for the benefit of the people who are not here, but listen in, bring us up to date.
Okay, the meeting yesterday, as most people know, we've been talking about was to decide the bulk cable contract issue, a five-year bulk cable contract. We had two proposals, one from Spectrum, one from Frontier. The two proposals were different. Spectrum's proposal was for TV and internet. Frontier's proposal was for internet only. Now, interestingly enough, back in August when we did the first survey, 78% of the residents who responded wanted Spectrum plan. 22% wanted the Frontier internet-only plan. Now, under the Frontier plan, Frontier would still sell TV packages to people directly at a discounted rate. But the majority still liked the Spectrum plan. At that time, if you fit into that plan, it was by far financially the best way to go. Now, over time, Spectrum had some issues dealing with their TV content providers, and they had to renegotiate their TV content contracts, which then changed what they could offer us. So their original proposal, which was for $40 a month and included certain stations like HBO and NFL Red Zone, was no longer offered. After 4 months, we were waiting for 4 months to hear back from Spectrum. In December, they came back with a new proposal, and at this point, the offer was going to be $48 a month, but it would not include HBO or NFL Red Zone. And HBO by itself was another $15 a month. So the pricing of those plans changed. The Frontier plan was still the same. It was going to be $12 a month for internet only with speeds of 500 over 500, which is the highest speed they have. So now the question for the board, we did another survey back out to residents after having more town hall meetings to explain the differences. And now the survey came back. It was 61% in favor of Spectrum and 39% in favor of Frontier. So there was a 17-point swing between August and now as far as which plan they wanted the most. Now, ultimately, I know a lot of residents felt that the majority on the survey would decide this outcome. That is not how this process works. The board still decides operations. Our governance is we elect five people, and those five people make decisions for the HOA with a few exceptions, like a bylaw change. The residents have to vote that in. So ultimately, it's up to the board to decide which plan to go with. Now, what comes after the board makes a decision is we have to get homeowner approval to go forward with a five-year contract because our bylaws only allow for a one-year contract. So we will have to go get that vote. So yesterday's meeting, which was announced, was for the board to decide which plan, if any. One of the options was we were not going to put forward any plan at all. In the end, the board voted 5-0. It was unanimous to go with the Frontier plan. And I think in the end, there was a variety of reasons, but most of the foundation of this it was pretty much the same for all board members. And I'll go through that. One is it is thought by many that the internet now is almost like electricity. It is something everybody needs, where TV is optional. It is an entertainment source. But there are so many people now with alternative TV methods. They might use DirecTV. They might stream. No TV. Antennas in homes. So there's a lot of variety on the TV aspect where internet seemed, pretty basic for everybody. Now, interestingly enough, what we found out through the surveys is 70% of the residents here have TV, either through Spectrum or Frontier, 70%. That means 30% of the residents here do not have TV with Frontier or Spectrum, but have alternative sources, DirecTV, streaming, so forth. At the same time, when it comes to internet, 95% of the residents here have internet with either Frontier or Spectrum, and only 2% that were surveyed don't have the internet. So one of the questions for the board was, an internet-only plan does not negatively impact as many people. It only negatively impacts 2% of the population for $12 a month. And by doing that, 98% of the population can gain a benefit, because both plans, you will save money. It's just that Spectrum, if you fit into their plan, will save you a little more. Now, on the other hand, it was also thought 95% of the population to give them benefit with a little negative impact seemed to be real positive. Where if you we went with Spectrum and 40% of the population doesn't want the plan, that means you are... we are hitting 40% of the population with a $50 a month increase for something they don't want, don't need, or can't afford. So part of the perspective by the board, many board members, I'm one, was I am willing to pay what I pay now so that I don't affect my neighbor who doesn't want a $50 a month increase. There are people who can't afford that $50. And 30, 40% is significant to me. So just the fact that the population majority by 60-40 wanted Spectrum was not an override to me, based upon the best interest of the community. Then there's other factors. A lot of us felt the TV content is changing fast, how we get it. A lot of people felt the internet is probably for 5 years here to stay. So there was that factor. The Spectrum plan is a one-size-fits-all. It is, here's the plan, here's the stations, and then you order stuff above it. It eliminates freedom of choice. The Frontier plan with internet only, you pick any TV plan you want. If you want Spectrum, go get it. If you want Frontier, go get it. You want DirecTV, go get it. Stream, don't have TV at all. So it offers all these choices. And the cost difference between Spectrum and Frontier, when you analyze everybody's plan, was not significant enough to override that choice factor. Keeping dues down. So it's only a $12 a month increase instead of $50 a month. A lot of people felt, a lot of board members felt in the marketplace when you go to buy and sell homes. That's a factor. So that's a factor that would help. So... And then finally, I was a person who said that even if the Frontier plan were to withdraw today, I won't vote in the Spectrum plan. I will vote opposed, because 30 to 40% of the population who don't want a $50 a month increase, I'm just not in favor of putting that kind of negative impact on them. I think we all have to get along a little better than that. So the next step will be a ballot vote for the homeowners. The homeowners need to give us permission in order to go sign a five-year contract. So the upcoming board election, there will be a measure on that ballot giving permission for the board to go do this. So it'll be simple. Do you approve, do you allow the board to go sign a five-year contract with Frontier for internet-only service? Yes or no? If the majority of people say no, then it's over. We stop all negotiations and there will be no plan, because without that approval, we can't go forward. We need 518 ballots. That's the quorum. And the majority of that quorum will decide. Now, in the board election, we've always had over 1,700 ballots. So the number of ballots isn't going to be the question. It's just the yes or no. Now, interestingly enough, it was brought up in a day. Some people have written to me and talked about, well, because I voted for Spectrum, then I should vote no on the ballot for Frontier. And if that goes down to defeat, then the board will put forward the Spectrum plan. Now, I've already stated my position, but I do know that I have not heard board support for putting forward Spectrum at all.
At all.
Now, that means that if Frontier goes down to defeat, there's nothing. So it's going to be Frontier or nothing. Now, I can't say for sure because the board hasn't voted on a resolution. So I am on the next board meeting putting a resolution on the floor for the board in open session that will decide if Spectrum would be put forward if Frontier went down to defeat. And if the board votes to state that Spectrum will not be put forward under any condition, then that will be clear to the residents. This is your choice. It will be Frontier or nothing. That's where I stand. I just can't say for sure on the record for the other board members, but I haven't heard support for Spectrum at all. So at this point, we're going to go forward with the ballot measure. Next month, the board will vote on if Frontier is defeated, will they put forward Spectrum? So the residents will then know what will happen in April. If it does pass, if Frontier does win the day, the hope is in the next 2 months, we will be finalizing the contract terms, the install plans, so that when April 1 comes along and we get permission, April 7 to be exact, and we have permission, we can then sign the contract and the installation could begin right away because those details over the next 2 months will be worked out. I'm meeting with operational people next week, and we're going over how this will work.
So just so I'm clear, too, if things go Frontier's way, that will mean that Spectrum will not be here any longer and everyone will be on Frontier's internet plan.
Not exactly. What will happen, close, but not exactly. Under this plan, the HOA will be required to pay $12 a month per home to Frontier for internet service. The homeowner does not have to take the service. The homeowner just will be required to pay the HOA $12 a month. So a homeowner could say, I like Spectrum the way it is, I don't want to change, and they could just leave Spectrum installed in their house. And Spectrum internet installed. That's fine.
Okay. It's unlikely, but
well,
possible.
Everybody will have their pick. That's the whole point. They have their choice. But they will be required to pay the $12 a month to the HOA. It will become part of the monthly dues. And so it will be, you know, instead of $273, it'll be $285. And then that will be required. But if you want to keep Spectrum, you may. At that point, too, if you do decide to move over to Frontier's internet, the homeowner would then decide what TV plan. So it could be if they have Spectrum now with internet and TV, they might switch the internet out to Frontier but leave the Spectrum TV in place. That would be up to them. They would, for me, I think everybody should negotiate that with every provider and find out what it is. Now, some of the people from the computer club came forward and said, well, maybe what we need to do is run some streaming classes for everybody to show how this can be done at a far less price than the TV content that you receive. So hopefully that will be done to help people on how that's done. It looks a little threatening at first, but once you do it, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I've only started doing it in the last year. But it's not too bad. You know, I've got the drift of it now, and so I watch most of my movies on streaming. I don't watch off TV anymore, movies at all, because I don't want the commercials anymore. So there's alternatives. So everybody will switch over. If it goes forward, everybody will switch over to Frontier Internet, which also has its technology differences now that the survey's over. Frontier speed at 500 over 500. That's the fastest speed possible because of fiber optic.
Is that faster than Spectrum currently is?
Yeah, Spectrum is 100 over 10, which means 100 download. Frontier is 500 download speed, five times faster. In the case of upload, Spectrum is 10, and Frontier will be 500. Now, for 80% of the population, most people might not ever even see the difference. But there's 20% of the people out there they will see that. They can't use Spectrum Internet. It's too slow. Mm-hmm. It will not work. So they would have to pay additional money, even if they were on Spectrum, or they do now. The speed-wise, that's terrific, because that resolves anybody's speed issue as far as the Internet. And like I said, 95% of this population is on Internet with Frontier or Spectrum. So everybody at that point, the internet cost alone, if you were just to go get it from Frontier, it's about $50, roughly. So everybody's going to save $40 right out of the box. Then it's just negotiate your TV. That's pretty much where we stand.
Okay. And if things were to proceed at the pace you expect, when would people start paying for Frontier?
Okay, now that's an interesting question. Our bylaws do not, the install, let me back up. The install itself is projected to take 3 months, 3 to 4 months, because you can't install 3,450 homes in a day. And the interesting part is all of you who are on Frontier now with internet speeds of 200 or less, your box, your modem box will not work with the speed of 500 over 500. So my guess is, and what Frontier believes is, 90% of these homes, they have to come in and change out equipment. So any speed over 200, they got to get a new box. I'm one. I have only speeds of about 100. So I got to get a new box. If 3 to 4 months is the install period, one of the dilemmas for the HOA is we may not have a different monthly price for one home versus another. Which means if somebody is installed on Frontier, we can't charge them $12 until we charge everybody $12. Well, the dilemma there is the board's already told Frontier, we're not charging everybody $12 until everybody has had the opportunity to be installed. Now, when I say opportunity to be installed, let me make what that's about. If Frontier calls to install in your home and you're gone 6 months, they will consider that an install. And the board agrees. That will be considered an install. That just means you'll have to install it later, which is okay. But we are not holding up Frontier's install because people are gone. Can't do that. So they'll be going through to make appointments and get people in. And once they're all online is when the HOA will begin paying. We've made it clear we're not paying until everybody's installed. So at that point, Frontier will have two choices. And we're meeting about this. One, they won't charge people who are installed the $12 a month. Or they will have to charge the people directly the $12 a month. Because we can't charge $12 for the people who get it. And the board's not willing to charge people $12 for something they don't have. So we're working out that detail. But so you can figure that by the time we get through with April, get things finalized, if they can start construction in May, 3 to 4 months, it would take. Now, there are 200 homes. There are 205 homes here who don't have the hookup for Frontier. And Frontier's already looked at that, and those 205 homes will be installed with the fiber optic cable and will be hooked into Frontier.
Is that phase one, or is that all?
Yeah, it's over in phase one. There's 200 homes over there. I think it's phase one. Don't hold me to that. It's phase one or phase two, and it just got missed. The conduit's in the ground. The pipe's in the ground. They just didn't pull the cables. And after the fact, they didn't want to come back and do it. So people would ask, they go, no, we don't want to pull the cable. And so, but here they're willing to pay the, pull the cable. It's financially in their best interest to do that.
Okay.
So,
maybe in 6 months. Well, no matter what people think of the plan that's being going to put forth, I think everyone appreciates the time that the board has put in on this, because it's been a substantial amount of time.
It took a little bit, so I'm about a year.
Yeah, it took more than a little bit.
It took a little bit, I was happy it was unanimous. I'm glad to see the board was unified in a decision, which I think is good for the community, and it's not always to vote what's in our own interest. I totally understand when somebody says, you know, the majority of people would save more money with Spectrum, and I get that. But that's not always the override when you're looking out for everybody in the community. And I'd like to think the compromise, even the people who would save a little more money with Spectrum, you'll still save money with Frontier.
So do you have an estimate of what, let's say someone has everything with Spectrum, as I do, and I'm paying about $225 a month. Do you have an estimate of what a similar package through Frontier would be?
Yes. Now, let me say, on the website, we put on some plans, and I put out hypotheticals with Spectrum and Frontier based upon one and two TVs. And so you could go through that, and if you're gone for 6 months. I did a snowboard calculation. So you can actually estimate this out. How many TVs do you have?
Two.
Okay. For two TVs with everything, real quick off the top of my head, The Frontier plan will be about $110 plus the taxes and the fees. So
it's still half of what I'm currently paying.
Yeah, you'll probably save, after you subtract out everything, $100 a month with all that.
That's considerable.
Yeah, and with the Spectrum plan, you would have saved a little bit more. Because when you say everything, that means that you have the HBO and Cinemax and all this other stuff. But those are add-ons. So that was about $20 less, roughly. You could go look at these plans and see the differences. Pretty much across the board, once we started factoring in these different plans, Snowbird's gone for 6 months. Frontier's a better price option across the board. Because Frontier allowed for putting it on hold for up to 9 months, no charge. Well, the whole point is if you're gone 6 months, the part that you're missing is $12 a month. But on the Spectrum plan, you still have to pay the $52.53 a month. Mm-hmm. That part's not put on hold. The basic plan, you can't put on hold. So that 6 months makes a big difference.
It's considerable, yeah.
Versus the Frontier, you're only paying $12. And all the rest of TV can be put on hold. So pretty much no birds across the board. You're gone 6 months, Frontier's a better plan. Naturally, streamers, DirecTV, Dish, Frontier's a better plan because you're just going to use internet and then paying $12. The rest of the people, you still save.
Okay.
You can figure it's going to be between 100 and, you know. Now, if you have very low plan, minimal TV, you know, your savings will be $40 to $50 a month. You get the savings off the internet, especially if you don't have TV. You're just going to get the internet.
Yeah. Plus, the internet's better.
It's much better.
Yeah.
Long term, it's much better.
Okay. Well, there was another issue that you talked about yesterday, too.
We did. We talked about dog waste stations along Sun City Boulevard. This is my third time on this. Third time. And I have all the faith in the world. This is an issue that will never go away. I have all the faith in the world that if I continue on the board for another year, which I am, I mean, I have a year and a half to go, I guess it'll happen again. But what was proposed was dog waste stations along Sun City Boulevard. I think there was 12, doing it from memory real quick, where people could pick up their dog waste, dog poop, and put it into a container. It would not have plastic bags. This is just the disposable containers along so people could drop it off rather than taking it home. It was a close vote again, split vote on the board. It's been split every time. It was 3-2, and it went down to defeat, so it's not going to happen. It's not going to be installed. I think the some of the issues that were repeated, I can tell you. One lady was very good at, Christy Adams, who's on this committee, was very articulate about explaining that part of this is just, it isn't just about the problem of dog waste around. It's also contributing to convenience for responsible dog owners. I thought that was a very good argument. That one, she was good at this, explaining that, you know, sometimes it's not just trying to solve this problem, but it's also for the convenience of somebody else. at the end of the day, I think the arguments that that won out were, one, some of us have difficulty that where residents are paying a fee for the responsibility of a dog owner, which people feel should be the responsibility of a dog owner. Even though it's a low fee, this isn't a lot of money. It's on a principal question. Should residents who don't have dogs pay so residents that do have dogs don't have to pick up their dog poop and take it home? Which means they have to pay for the maintenance of that. There's no question a lot of people wrote about that. They don't want that. There is the question of along Sun City Boulevard, you know, how often do you maintain these things in the middle of summer because they can have odors? That is part of the problem. There was many people who talked about other HOAs have these, and we should come of age and have these also. And I raised the argument, and I still will, is everybody has told me that all these other HOAs have these devices, but nobody presented me any evidence that they solved the problem. Not one person in my 3 years.
And the problem is?
People not picking up dog poop. So even though there's a container there, the people who don't want to pick it up, the irresponsible dog owners, don't do it anyway. Or I should say this, I have no evidence to that. So I did call some HOAs to ask. They said no, it still goes on. Responsible people are responsible, and I appreciate all the pet owners who are responsible. In fact, in one of the meetings with the pet people, Terry Kuhn, I mean, bless that man's heart. He's working hard. I mean, he said, the irresponsible dog people, we should fine them to death. This is not right. And he's a dog owner, walks on Sun City Boulevard. So one is, I have no evidence that this is going to solve that problem. Somebody needs to get me that, so I feel good about that. So it's kind of a dynamic that works against itself. If all these other places have it, why isn't somebody bringing me evidence that it works? That would help sell it.
Maybe because it doesn't.
Yeah, maybe because it doesn't work. The other problem I have is Sun City Boulevard is 2.5 miles long. There's 30 miles of roads. So 90% of the problem isn't on Sun City Boulevard. That's a problem for me. How do you solve 90% of the problem by putting trash waste canners on 10% of the roads? So I go, I understand does that mean everybody believes that when we install 12 containers, everybody that lives here is going to walk on Sun City Boulevard?
No.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think people are going to walk where they walk, in which case 80 to 90% of the problem is not going to go away with this install. So that's where I was at. I haven't been swayed yet, but, you know, new boards can provide new insight.
Yeah.
But that is where we're at. I know this is one that I haven't liked all three times, because it doesn't matter what I vote. Somebody's not going to like it. This is one that people just don't like.
And I mean, maybe it's because I don't have a dog, but I wasn't aware that this keeps coming up. And does it keep coming up because the vote, it's such a split community on whether it should be done or not?
Yeah, I think because naturally boards change. And naturally if a board changes, that's the election process. You could get support for one thing over another, right? I mean, those kind of dynamics change things. I mean, you know, years and years and years ago, women didn't vote. Well, it changed. Well, it didn't change as a result of men vote. You know, women couldn't vote, so they couldn't vote in their own, you know, voting ability. It had to be done by men at that time. So that just takes time. So it could be that a lot of people decide and then try to elect people to the board that will be in favor. Okay, that's how the process works. At this point, it's still a 3-2 vote. I do think last time it was 4-1, so they're gaining ground. I don't know where that will ultimately end up, but one, when you have 50%, I mean, this is one that's just back and forth. You have half the people that want it, half the people that don't. It can just go back and forth. The other dynamic was this was supposedly, I mean, it was also being sold as a test. You know, if it doesn't work, then we would just take it out.
Well, who would determine whether it worked or not?
Well, that's subjective. I also believe you've got other HOAs that are plenty of test cases. Just go ask them. I don't need to be the test. Something new with something that's already installed. Go somewhere and give me the evidence. The interesting part is that when I call some HOAs, the only answer to the problem that I've heard that worked was DNA registration of every dog. There are HOAs in this country that I call, one back in the Midwest, where every dog was registered with a DNA. It was a licensing that the HOA required. And I started giggling. I have never heard of this before. But they got done. They said, no, every dog's registered, and if somebody doesn't pick up after their dog, we take a sample, send it in, and they fine them $500. It pays for all the testing. It pays for the overhead. And they said it worked. He says, we don't have a problem.
I believe that. I believe that.
Because
you're caught. Maybe that's what it takes. It would cost this technology going down. Yeah. Maybe that will be the
I don't know.
Solution.
I've asked the committee to look at it, but I don't know what it costs to register. And I think a lot of people are objectionable to their dogs being registered. But that's the only way I've known that it can
it
work.
It does work.
Now, the other option in between that we're trying, which the committee and Bob came up with this. I thought it was a great idea. You don't think about it at the time. The fine for not picking up after your dog is $50. Bob Israel came up with the idea. That's, you know, not a big incentive. So the board voted in to increase that fine to $250. And then now it'll be an issue of once that fine goes into effect is to ask security and people, let us know. All we need to know is who they are. Then
yeah.
We could do the fine. I mean, in the end, I think nobody wants to fine somebody $250, but it's also...
But cameras, you could have cameras on.
Yeah, do something,
Sun
but
City.
I don't think having, and you know, there's an idea, might be a lot less, is to say, you know, I don't think it's right for irresponsible dog owners to impact all the responsible people either, including mm-hmm. the responsible dog owners. So cameras will help. We've had a lot of discussion about the manpower it takes for speeding tickets and for stop sign violations. The board has bought a radar camera device that is portable to put around. So if you're speeding, it will take a picture, and so we don't need manpower to do it. The benefit there is we can put it in a lot of places in a short period of time to slow people down. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of complaints with speeders on Sombra because it's a little wider street, mm-hmm. and so people will speed, which the residents don't like. So this is one way to help slow that down. And so when that comes out, you'll know if you get a ticket because it'll flash.
Yeah.
It'll give you a...
Yeah, well, there's something like that installed at the gates, right?
Yeah, we have cameras at the gate. So everybody's photographed going through the gate. So if there's damage to the gate, we have the license numbers and all the registration. We'd have to. A lot of people try to go through the gate incorrectly and damage them. Mm-hmm. We had one lady drive right through the gate, right through it. She couldn't get out, so she didn't go around. She just went through it. Caused $4,000 damage. It was on film, and the board's just laughing. We couldn't believe it. So you never know. You never know. Kind of interesting. But so that was the other big topic of the day, and I kind of hope that I get a rest from a year from that particular subject, tell you the truth.
Okay. And speaking of giving you a rest, we go through this every time, but we get new listeners every time we do a podcast too, and that is the issue of the dining room making money. Mm-hmm. I know that the dining room, there isn't a dining room but a private country club in the country that makes money. And it never has, and it never will. I mean, there are different solutions to this, but the dilemma remains, and it's unfortunate that it's a line item here. The dining rooms don't make money any more than the jacuzzi makes money or the pickleball courts make money. What they do is sell real estate. Because no one would be interested in moving here without a dining room. And what you have done is made efforts to make that monthly deficit as low as possible. And it's come down from $12 to about $7.
Is that $8 now.
Yeah. That's where it is now. And so and I'll bet every time you have one of those meet a board member sessions, somebody asks you about the dining room. Am I correct?
Oh, I get an email. Yes. There isn't probably a week, 2 weeks go by, I'm not asked about the Shadows restaurant, and it shouldn't cost any money. And I have people that have even said there's some other HOAs that where it breaks even. I said, well, you need to bring us the plan of how that is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, I do not believe Shadows will ever break even. I don't believe it'll get down to $5 a month subsidy. I think if it's at 6 to 7, you're probably operating at perfection. What we're paying $8 a month for is for the convenience of having it there. You're not paying to use it. You're paying to have it there $8 a month.
Because who would want to come here if there weren't a restaurant?
No different than you pay more to have the pools here. I don't swim. You pay more to have the pickleball courts here. Everything costs more than that restaurant on a subsidy basis. The golf courses cost more. The clubhouses cost more. So the restaurant is $8 for that convenience. From my point of view, I think Troon's doing a great job. Troon's doing a great job. They got it from 12 down to 8. Can it always be worked at and try to improve service or food? Yes, that's a never-ending battle.
But I think it's quite good now.
I think it's excellent.
And it's a big improvement from when I moved here.
From 5 years ago. I think it's a great value. I'm glad it's there. I've gone used it on a moment's notice. So I tell residents now, I don't believe it's possible. So I don't spend any time at trying to figure out a way to make it break even. Zero. If somebody has a plan, they need to spend the time and bring the plan forward. I'll look at every plan. I'll give it to the board and the F&B committee. They'll go through it, and we'll analyze it. I'm just not spending time. Somebody's got to bring it to me because I don't think it's possible. So I need to spend time on some other things like boat cable. So, you know, it takes my time. So
okay.
It's $8 a month. It's a bargain to me. It's a great bargain. When I was a member of a country club, I was for a while, about 10, 15 years, we paid $75 a month minimum. If I didn't use the restaurant, I paid $75. That's how country clubs get by. They make you spend X amount of money, and then they know they have a revenue source. Mm-hmm. And even then it was subsidized. So it's, you know, this is doing okay. Troon's done a good job. I have no complaint on that one.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and going over all of these subjects, which are of vital interest to the community. And so for the residents, until next time, bye-bye.